Hi, everyone. This is Mitch Dunford at the National Alliance, and welcome back to the NAT Alliance Now podcast. On this episode, Dustin Bryant, one of our academic directors, will be talking with Joan Sansing about her career in insurance, some of the obstacles she's faced as a female producer along the way, and her involvement as a faculty member with Dynamics of Selling at the National Alliance. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Well, welcome. I am your host, Dustin Bryant. I have an amazing guest with me today, Joan Sansing, CIC. In addition to being a top producer in the insurance industry, she has been the national sales manager with Wells Fargo Insurance Services, senior VP at Tannenbaum Harbor of Florida, senior VP at CBIZ, as well as former captain in the United States Army. She graduated summa cum laude from University of Maryland, completed her master's at Wharton School of Business, and in 1989 won the Presidential Award for Outstanding Achievement in Education. Joan, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Joan is the president of Sansing Consulting, Inc. You have been featured in Rough Notes articles and speak and spread your knowledge at conferences all over the United States. You are everywhere, but your roots are in Tampa, Florida. Before we get started, Joan, tell us a little bit about yourself and Sansing Consulting.
Well, Sansing Consulting, you know, I got tired of all the travel and it was time to go home because I was never home. Sansing Consulting was developed really as a means to try to help agencies with the placement of producers in independent agencies. It's something that we really struggle with as an industry. We don't hire well. It's something we don't do. And it is something that I have an extensive background in trying to find qualified candidates to go into the role of producers in an agency. So what I do now is I work within the state of Florida in conjunction with Florida State University that has an amazing risk management program in an attempt to try to place qualified brand new producer candidates in independent agencies is what I do.
That is great. That sounds amazing. Well, today we're going to dive into being a female producer in the insurance industry and get Joan's experience and advice to give female producers a boost of confidence to find their edge as producers. Joan, you've been in the property and casualty insurance business for 40 years, back when agents were a good old boys club. How have you seen changes for professional women evolve? Like, what have you had to overcome and how did you do it?
I was lucky in the fact that I actually got into this industry by chance. A lot of us do not do it intentionally, and I'm one of those individuals. But by chance, a very significant direct writer actually had just lost a discrimination lawsuit. Women in their claims department and their loss control department actually had sued for failing to advance women within the company, and that company lost. What's interesting about that is that they looked around the company and they had women in personal lines, selling personal lines. They did not do employee benefits, but they looked in their commercial lines division and they had no female producers. So they made a concerted effort to hire women. And I was somebody that they interviewed. And I actually had three offers, two from pharmaceutical companies and one from this company, this insurance operation. And the thought of sitting in doctor's offices all day long trying to get 5 minutes with the physician to sell, you know, medications was not appealing to me. So I went into insurance. So I was lucky in the fact that this company was actually looking for women because they didn't have any. And what's not unusual, especially 40 years ago, is within the industry, they didn't have them, especially in commercial lines, which is where I have focused my entire career. I do not do personal lines. I did employee benefits until the mid-1990s and then made a concerted effort to only do commercial lines insurance when I went with Wells Fargo, which today is Wells Fargo. What have I had to overcome? Being a woman, I've seen as an advantage in many ways because I was a novelty, especially at the beginning. In working in commercial lines, if I would be calling and knocking on doors and trying to get an opportunity to meet with the the business leaders of that company, either the president, the chief financial officer. Since I was about the only female doing it, I was kind of a novelty in that they would agree to meet with me because they weren't hearing from women. And so that opened doors for me. I got tested more than my male counterparts. I had to be smarter than my male counterparts. But that was okay. You know, for me, that was not hard. So I have found a way to do something that many of us don't do. While I am highly qualified on a technical basis as an insurance professional, I also know how to sell. And I know how to mesh these. I do not sell exclusively technically, which is what many of insurance professionals do. They start talking immediately about the insurance products they have and don't listen to the buyer. So what have I had to overcome? I even had a situation where I was told within a fairly substantial company that I had reached the glass ceiling, meaning I would not go any further. And so I didn't go any further with them, meaning I left them and found a better opportunity. So does that still exist? Yeah, it does. It may not be overt. It may not be my situation where I actually was told it. How did I do these things, overcome these things? I always tell my class, my individuals that take Dynamics of Selling for me, that I am a very, very, very good agent and always have been. And the reason I always say I'm a very good agent is I know that I don't know everything. And I know that even at the end of my career, after 40 years, as I'm looking down the road toward retirement, I know I still don't know everything, and nor will I ever, will that ever take place. So therefore, how did I overcome it? By staying on top of my products. And that's what I had to do. And I had to do it. And also by making sure that I didn't view myself as being something different than my male counterparts. I am as good. I am as smart. I am as talented as they are. And that's basically my mental outlook to myself in this industry.
I love that you called yourself a novelty and that you use that to your advantage. You saw that, and whereas, you know, somebody might see it as a disadvantage, I love that you saw it as an advantage and just used that to make sure you put yourself in the right position.
Yeah, thank you.
If you were a young female entering insurance as a producer today, what advantages do you see they will have? And what obstacles do you see they're going to face?
You know, I would like to say that the obstacles that were faced 40 years ago have completely gone away. They haven't.
Really haven't.
No. You know, it's interesting. As somebody that does a lot of training, you know, when the National Alliance had their producer school, initially was their 3-week producer school down to 2 weeks a little bit later on. We used to cap the class at, and this was, you know, from 2000 to 2010 and beyond. We used to cap the class at 60 participants because that's a lot of people to handle. And what was interesting, I'd walk in the classroom and probably at most we would see 4 women in those classes of 60. And today I still see that. I still see, you know, basically women not going into that. Now, whether that's women not seeing insurance sales as a viable career option for them, or they're not being given the option. I think there's probably a little bit of both going on, but I still don't see women being, entering this business with the intent to make it a high success. And I think they can. I think they can. You know, 50%, the last census showed that, 50% of businesses, granted mainly small businesses, are owned by women today. And I believe women, if they're smart, like to deal with other women. You know, that's actually, you know, go back to an obstacle. One of the biggest obstacles is how women treat each other within our industry. Many of the service personnel, the CSRs, account managers, and agencies are female. And yet they don't always look favorably upon female producers. I don't know whether that's jealousy or whatever, but in many ways today, as I'm today coaching a few female producers, one of the biggest obstacles that I get that they share with me is the fact that their work goes to the bottom of the pile. That when they are in a producer that is sharing a support role, a support staff person with a male counterpart, the male counterpart still gets the advantages. And so, and they kind of have to push forward. They have to push forward and make sure that they don't let that get in their way, which means they're going to have to make demands. And women don't tend to be pushy. We don't tend to like to do that. And so therefore, how do you stand up and make sure that you're being given the same level of support that your male counterparts are getting? So obstacles that they'll face, they're still there. They haven't gone away. Advantages, again, is a lot of women are making advances within the business world as a whole. And the advantage I see is some of my best clients historically have always been women. And we've always had great relationships.
So. That's amazing. Yeah, that connects back to what you said about how you faced the comment that you had hit the glass ceiling, and that was your chance to move on. I've experienced similar situations myself, and just having kids and what comes along with being a mother, and literally being told that I had hit the ceiling and needed to find a different support system for my kids, which just kind of put a barrier in my way. And that was from another woman. So that connects to women not uplifting and supporting each other. And anytime I've found a mentor in this industry, it's been a male mentor. So it's so refreshing to hear the way you are uplifting other women and using your consulting business to do that, because it's so needed.
Yeah, it is. But my mentors historically have been exactly the same as you, Dustin. They've all been male, and they've been great, and they're dear friends of mine. And I'm very happy I had them. So I'm not advising women to say only find mentors that are female. No.
Yeah, where you can find a good mentor, absolutely take advantage of it. But you can find some really powerful words in a female mentor as well.
See, go back to what I said earlier. See, gender, I don't see gender. And maybe that's one of my, basically where I come from. I don't see gender. I don't see it as an obstacle to myself. I don't see myself as a woman selling insurance. I see myself as an insurance professional who happens to be female.
That's great. I love that. So you were in commercial line. Today, would you enter personal or commercial lines?
Well, it all depends on opportunity. They are different, regardless of what we think. They are different, and where I've seen some obstacles is it's not unusual for agencies to bring women in on the personal line side and give them hopefully opportunities to go to commercial, but they don't all make that. They don't all make the transition. This whole thing about we'll only sell this type of business for now until you get experience, or only work on these size of accounts for now until you get experience. All of a sudden the agency comes back and says, all right, we want you to make a change. We either want you to go over to commercial, or we want you to start to sell bigger accounts. Yet, what have they been doing to you all this time? They've been telling you that you're not capable of selling larger accounts or selling commercial. And now they want you to make a transition. It's almost like starting all over again from scratch. And maybe I succeeded at that first level, but now trying to succeed to go to the next level, it's not an automatic. It doesn't always happen. If I were giving my personal advice, I would go into commercial line sales. Personal lines is great. Personal lines is at the foundation of profitability in an agency, and it will never go away. However, more and more of it is being done online. More and more of it is being done by competitors that are, and for those of you that are listening, you know what I'm talking about. You know, the Geicos are out there trying to take business away, and they're not the only ones. So I would rather go into commercial. And while maybe small little accounts may end up being done through automation, just like personal lines is being done, your middle market and your larger commercial accounts are always going to need us. It will never change. And so if I were to give advice, I would recommend that a woman enter on the commercial line side you know, but agencies, most agencies in this country are small, and they're going to expect, and this holds true to your male producers as well. You enter an agency and you sell everything. You sell commercial and personal, and that's fine. But don't segment yourself to personal only if you have that opportunity.
Right. That's great advice. I actually believe that personal lines can kind of filter off of commercial as you're getting those relationships built. And once you've landed that commercial insurance account, you know, those key persons that are at the top of that organization, those are great to go for personal lines, but it's a supplement, you know, on the side. Getting into the commercial lines first, that's great advice, because then you don't have to worry about that huge transition that can sometimes be a boundary.
Yes.
What, many senior producers are still out there and not ready to hang up their hats yet. So how do you get taken seriously by senior male producers from a different era?
It's tricky. And I don't even know if it's ever going to happen. I would like to think it's going to happen, but, you know, they don't change. They're not going to change. So when you say senior male producers, if the senior male producer is the owner of the agency, you better impress them by doing a really good job. You know, the old adage, you know, by getting people's attention by doing the work rather than, I would recommend, you know, there's the adage I want to talk about is it's better to ask for forgiveness and ask for permission. Well, let's take that and move it here. It's better to show them what you're capable of doing and then making sure that attention comes up rather than always going around telling everybody how great you are and what you've accomplished. Let them see it. Let them see it. That's going to get your attention a whole lot more than just sitting here and telling them how great you are. And, you know, the other thing you can do with senior producers, not just male, but also female, is be as much of a help to them as you possibly can be. Many of them are kind of winding down. And if you ever find yourself in a place where you can be of assistance, do it. And do it in a way that you're positioning yourself, because eventually they will retire. Wouldn't it be nice if you knew some of their accounts? Wouldn't it be nice if maybe you might be considered to take over for their book when and if they, you know, if they leave? That opportunity won't always happen, but if it can happen, that's what I basically see, you know, around agencies is by getting attention, by doing work, and not just telling people all the time how great you are.
Right. Actions certainly speak louder than words.
Very good.
Producers put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and time into the books that they build. And if you can, like you said, position yourself for them to be comfortable with you to care for their clients the way they have cared for their clients, what an advantage.
Yeah. It's true, you know, but try to do it. See if you can't make it work.
Mm-hmm. Right. What do you see as opportunistic niches for women in insurance?
We kind of talked about them already. A lot of, you know, I hate to segment a woman into small business because it's not only small business. But 50% of businesses today are owned by women. And again, granted, many of them are smaller. Yet there's a lot of top CFOs, COOs, CEOs of companies today that are female. And so I would never segment myself into a niche. You know, a niche to me needs to be a niche of interest to you, not just because you're female. You know, some of my niches have, well, one of my niches was construction, because company I work for, that's all, you know, when I got into the industry, that's all they wrote were contractors. I like contractors. I still do. You talk about a good old boys club. There it is. But you go in and you act just like you are one of the boys, and you conduct yourself mentally that way. And men like to deal with women. You know, there's some differences, not just gender-wise, but, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, some of the things we see is working on a new piece of business. There's a difference between how the male producer is viewed by the owner and the female producer is viewed by the owner. Male producers are given the knowledge card. We call it the knowledge card. They're automatically assumed that they know what they're talking about. Women always get in the door, are given the trust card. Women are trusted more than male producers are. Well, when it comes to sales, You know, I'll go back again to what I said at the beginning. One of the things that I've really worked hard on is being as technically competent as I can be in my trade, in insurance, and yet at the same time learning when to use it, when not to use it. Because sales is a combination of both, but women are given the trust card. And boy, I'm going to tell you, if you combine that automatic trust card that many of us have going in, working on account, backed up by the ability to show your superior knowledge, I think you have to get ahead in many ways, ahead of your counterparts. I just do. I do see it. So are there niches? Unless you're going to peg yourself in smaller accounts, no. But I'd rather see you create a niche that is of interest to you and not just a niche because an insurance company comes into your agency and says, we were having a special this week on these type of accounts. And all of a sudden, that's what you go and work on. Now, if you don't have a background there and you're not interested in there, your heart won't be in it. And right. By being really good and being able to pursue a career, your heart has to be in it. It has
Absolutely.
To be.
Yeah. When you have that automatic trust card, trust is really hard to earn. So mm-hmm. if you've got that automatic trust card and can show that knowledge, man, that's powerful.
Yeah, it should be. It can be.
For the National Alliance, Joan, you're a senior dynamics selling instructor. Mm-hmm. Dynamics of Selling is part of the Dynamics Series program at the National Alliance, motivates professionals by equipping them with tried and true skills of highly successful insurance sales leaders. All of the Dynamics of Selling instructors are high producing sales leaders, including yourself, Joan. As a senior Dynamics of Selling instructor who has had the advantages of traveling to teach in all 50 states, what do you see in regional differences?
Well, I see differences. Let's start off with, I'll talk about regional here in a second. I see a big difference in larger metropolitan areas versus rural areas. There's clearly a difference. When it comes to female producers, probably, and again, there's an exception to everything we're talking about today. There always is. We're generalizing in some ways, but some of the female producers in agencies, one of the things we also do for Dynamics of Selling is we do what are known as in-house training. We will go into a agency and only train their sales team. Now, you know, that costs a bit of money. And typically you're going to find, you know, your larger agencies are the ones that will invest in that way. They do that differently. So when we go into bigger agencies and do that, that's where I'm impressed by some of the female producers in the class. But I tend to see them. Let me give you an example. Earlier this year, I was in the Chicago area teaching Dynamics of Selling. And I'll tell you what, the sharpest people in that classroom are the female producers. Boy, they had it all going for them. So if I'm going to very large metropolitan areas where it could be more likely to see more women hired, especially in commercial lines, I see them really being pretty darn sharp. And so when you get into bigger cities, I see women doing exceptionally well. Small communities, it works as well, too. But I see the vast majority of them in larger metropolitan areas where you find some of your larger agencies, and they're also open to the fact that women are, there's qualified women available. Now, regionally, there's a difference. East Coast, West Coast, much more assertive type of people. Both male and female producers, much more assertive. We're not talking about aggressive. We're talking about assertive. They're much more assertive versus Middle America. Middle America, you know, as somebody that worked in Minneapolis for 6 years with Wells Fargo, I can tell you that's different. It's different. The lower key. Nobody wants to offend anyone. You go to the South. It's different. It just is. It's still, if I were to meet, you know, we always try to teach that you want to be on an equal plane with the person that you're meeting with. So you want to be on a first name basis with that person. Well, that doesn't apply in the South. you better be calling this owner of this business Mr. or Mrs. because it's expected. It's absolutely expected. It's a different world. And so while you teach people to do certain things, everything has to be modified for where you are and what you do and the agency that you work for. Because we are not Starbucks. We use that expression frequently in Dynamics. We are not Starbucks. Every agency is different. The rules within every agency are different. And therefore, how do you fit in? How do you make it so that you can have success in this agency that you've chosen to work for?
Joan, any parting words as we're wrapping up?
Finding good producers, and I want the women listening to this to understand this. As somebody that hires, I would hire every qualified, good female producer I could get my hands on, because I think there's some advantages there. I just do. I don't find enough of them, but in saying that, I also don't find enough men either. Now, you know, finding somebody with the ability to sell is hard to do. Get yourself tested. See if you have the ability to sell, because only 20% of the general population actually has the ability to be successful in sales. And that includes men and women, both. Find out if you can do it. And if you can do it, then, you know, find a way to make this a career. One of the most satisfying things that I can say as I near the end of my career is I made a great choice in 1980. Made a great choice. I went in the world of insurance. I didn't go into pharmaceutical sales. And it has provided unbelievable advantages for me and my family because I worked hard at it. Now, granted, I worked really hard. This is not a 40-hour week job. And if you think it is, then find a different one, because it's not. But I encourage every woman to make a stab. If you think that this is something that you want to do, first of all, find out if you really have the qualities available to be successful, because if you don't, you're going to be miserable. But then find the right agency. Find the right agency. Find an agency that will support you in every possible way, because I don't care if you're male or female, you need that support or you will not make it. And
absolutely.
I want to see more and more women in this industry. I think it's a great opportunity and we have to make it happen.
Absolutely. You know, something you said about you making a good choice, I could hear it in your voice when you said that particular line, that you made a good choice. You can just hear it come out of how much you've enjoyed your career. And mm-hmm. just, I love that. You can't see my face, but I am smiling from ear to ear, just hearing that come out of you, the way that was. I love that. Not too many people can look behind them and say that they are happy with the career choice that they made. And some people spend their entire careers searching for that happiness. And you're absolutely right to find a good agency, one that supports, because you can be so happy in the insurance industry.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Joan. It has been an absolute pleasure to speak with you today and just to hear all the wisdom that you're pouring out into the insurance industry, particularly for women as well. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Thank you.
That's it for another episode of Nat Alliance Now. If you'd like to learn more or hear some of our other podcasts, check out our website at scic.com. And as always, thanks for listening.